I was given the freedom to choose anything, so I did. But not just anything. I want to share something which I believe is relevant. I want to take you to Isaiah 7. I know that you'll be looking at this passage probably in your Christmas services, but really what I want to do today and what I've been sharing with this online Bible school is the necessity to proclaim Christ born of a virgin. The virgin birth is a vital, vital part of our understanding of the gospel. And it's one of those areas which some people are questioning. Well, they've been questioning it for years. Some people trying to write it out, you know, that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. That was just a bit fictitious or whatever. But this was a reality, and it was an essential reality for our salvation. Now, there are many other things to get hold of, but as we approach Christmas time, this seemed to be important to look at again. When Isaiah is bringing his prophecy, we read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we read this: "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Now, that statement was written many, many years before Christ came, many years before Mary and Joseph were born, but it was a statement that God would bring himself into the world, born of a virgin. And as I've said, it's a really, really important truth for us to grasp. Why was it necessary? Well, it was necessary because our salvation needed to be achieved, as it were, completely watertight. No sort of possible way. You know how, I don't want to go into the Rwanda thing at the moment, but you know how the politicians and the lawyers will be scrutinizing and trying to say, well, is this current possible legislation, is it really legal? Will it work? Are there any loopholes? Whatever. And they'll be actually looking over this, we know, with tremendous sort of careful precision and what have you. Well, it was necessary for our salvation that there were no loopholes. There was no way that the devil could claim, this isn't sufficient, this doesn't cover the cost of sin, this doesn't deal with death and hell and the fact that Satan says, you're in my kingdom. There's a gap here, and I will exploit that gap. But no, the virgin birth is one of the ways that God closed the gap, so there was no question as to the validity and the strength and the power of the salvation that we can have in Christ. God needed to come because man could not solve this issue. He couldn't send another man. He'd sent Adam, he'd put Adam in the garden, and Adam in his early state was innocent, no sin in him. He was living in perfect harmony with God, and there was no reason why there should ever be death and sickness and suffering in the world. Adam was in a garden in an environment that was as good as you could want. But we know that he disobeys God. We know that he, alongside Eve, and although Eve was the first to be tempted and to fall, the fact is Adam followed headlong. He can't be excused, but he can't say it was my wife. He did try to say it was his wife's fault, but there was no reason for that. He had voluntarily responded as she had to eat what God had said they shouldn't eat, to do what God had said they shouldn't do. And therefore, it's no point sending another man, because man was already tarnished. And the Bible teaches us that the sin of Adam is inherent in every human being. And one of the ways that we know how true that is that, have you ever had to teach your children how to sin? Have you ever had to educate them as to how to be disobedient or rebellious? Well, we thank God for each one of our five sons, but we have to say that they didn't need teaching in that area. They found it quite natural, which of course is the reality. So no point sending another man as such. God had to do it. And we get the impression, and this is a human response, but I think it's legitimate. It's like there was a discussion in heaven between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. An agreement was made that the only way man could be saved from their sins was that God would need to come in the person of a man and as a human being. And Jesus said, I'll do it. I'll go. And so God the Father sends Jesus into the world. The Holy Spirit comes and anoints Jesus. And Jesus is the second Adam, truly man, 100% man, and yet he never sinned. He was tempted, he was pressurized, Satan was trying desperately to get him to fall into some sin or other, but Jesus resisted, and therefore he was able to offer himself the perfect man, but truly God as well. And that is something that is vital for us. That's the thing that makes Christianity distinctive. There's no claim about Muhammad being God and man. And you can go through the upteen Hindu gods, and there are many. And there's no claim that any of them were, some say they were divine, but they don't say they were also totally man. It's only Christianity that proclaims and says, there is only one Savior. He is Jesus Christ, absolutely 100% God, but also truly man. And so for this man, God, to be born, he needed to come into the womb of a woman. And the conception of Jesus was miraculous because the way that she conceived and a little life began to grow in her womb was the activity of the Holy Spirit. And that's how it happened. Now, again, I know some people raise their eyes, you know, absolute nonsense, what have you. Well, come on, God made everything. Let's come back to some of the points that were made by Rob at the very beginning. He's almighty, he's all powerful, he can do anything. So let's not sort of even give a question of doubt as to how he could put his seed into a woman who would give birth to a son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and God. Nothing to him, impossible to us, and there's plenty of things that are impossible to us, but God achieved that in the wonderful way that he came upon Mary. And we know that Mary is faced with a big challenge. So if people today in the 21st century find it challenging to talk about a virgin birth, well, let's think of the challenge that she faces. I mean, as far as we can tell, a normal, healthy young woman about to be married, anticipating children through her husband, that was Joseph. And that's how life was sort of looking for her. But for God to interrupt that big time with an angel, and not just any old angel, Gabriel, the head of the force, he comes down and he talks to Mary and he says, God's got a plan and you are part of it. He is going to cause you to conceive and bear the Son, the Messiah, the Christ. And, well, we're amazed, really, how she handles that. She handles that because she loves God. She handles that Maybe she realized a Messiah was going to come, but had no idea that she was going to be a major part of that. But in a smaller way, again, coming back to what Rob said at the beginning, we are all to be vessels that receive the seed of God, the grace of God, to tell others about Jesus. Now, we're not putting ourselves on the same footing as Mary and the virgin birth, but what we are saying is that the potential to pass on life, spiritual life, the reality of the person of God, that's for all of us who've been born again by the Spirit of God. We have received the life of God as Jesus became our Savior and the Spirit of God found his home within us. And so Mary responds to this. And if you look at the story of Mary, you see how she, like us, is believing and yet sometimes struggling. Is that like you and me? Believing and yet sometimes struggling? You can nod if you like, but that's helpful. I know you haven't fallen asleep then, but because you could fall asleep with your eyes open. Did you know that? It is possible. But we claim it as husbands when our wives make that nasty accusation about us from time to time. But no, not sleeping. Well, you were. But anyway, but now the reality is that Mary is receiving this gift from God, and there are times when she is rejoicing. The Magnificat is truly magnificent, a wonderful song of praise and worship. She knows what God has done, and she can't tell hardly anybody because they would not believe it, and even there's the possibility of not just ridicule, but even stoning her. So it's not easy. God gives her Elizabeth. And it's always great when God gives us someone that we can share our innermost secrets and heart. But we know that there were other times when Mary, it's not easy for her. Remember when Simeon comes along and he looks at Mary and he says these wonderful things about this little baby that she has brought into the world, how he's going to be the Savior and all of that. But then he looks at her and he says, a sword will pierce your heart. You're going to find it tough, Mary. It's not going to be easy for you because there are times when you will have to realize that although you've been used to bring him into the world, that he's actually God's son. And you've got to keep giving him back to God. Joseph, of course, he has a big struggle. And what man wouldn't, when his fiancée declares that she is pregnant, but that no man has been involved? Not an easy thing, but these things, to me, help the reality of the story to be so strong. You know, if Joseph had said, oh, nothing, no problem, you know, I just, well, you'd kind of think, well, does he really understand what's being said? If Mary said, you know, well, yes, and I'll have a few more if you want to give them to me. I'm being deliberately flippant. You know, what she knows what it means. She knows what it means to receive this message. And I believe that's one of the reasons the Bible gives us the accounts of Mary and Joseph, because it's God's way of saying, this was not make-believe. This isn't sort of a funny little story. This is truth. God is coming into the world in the person of Jesus Christ. And he, the second Adam, will succeed in every area where the first Adam failed. In every situation where Adam failed, Jesus will stand up against sin, against the devil, and he will declare truth. And so this is a vital, vital truth for us to hold. And it is why we love the Lord Jesus so much. Occasionally, you hear stories of people who've given up a lot in order to maybe give up a lot to care for an aging parent. There are people who make sacrifices in ever so many different ways. They give up a promising career to raise a family. I know you can do both these days, but it's not easy. There are sacrifices that people make. But the sacrifice that Jesus made to leave the glory, the perfection of heaven to come to earth is immeasurable. But he did that because he knew it was the only way that we could be saved. No other way. Our efforts always will fall miserably short, but it's what Jesus has done that makes it possible. And so hold on to that truth. I'm sure you are, but I'm just exhorting you. Hold on to that truth as we approach another Christmas time. This is the miracle. The baby in the stable can sometimes evoke sort of reactions that are really sort of fairly emotional and a bit gushy. But we believe that it was a messy business. And we say he was born in a stable, and immediately we're looking at straw glistening and sort of like the sort of lights you have on a Christmas tree all around, you know, and donkeys having a garland of roses. You know, that's the sort of sentimentalism that can overtake the reality. The reality was it was messy. The reality was that it was probably smelly. But the reality is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So we praise God. You've not got a clock at the back anymore. Well, you see, the clock's behind me, so that's to my advantage and your disadvantage. But anyway, I think we're okay for time. But please let us really honour Jesus, truly man, truly God, and let's worship him and proclaim him. Amen.